Life isn't about playing it safe, or at least it shouldn't be. We all should challenge ourselves to live more courageously. Because without courage, our lives and dreams remain impossible. So to help us find our courage in all areas of life, I asked best-selling author Margie Worrell to stop by and talk with us. Margie has stepped out of her comfort zone a time or two and has learned a lot about courage, which she shares with the world through her books, Find Your Courage and Stop Playing Safe, as well as her Courage Works column in Forbes magazine. Well, Margie, welcome to Success Magazine, and thank you for taking the time to share some of your courageous insights with us today.
It is a pleasure to be speaking with you, Darren.
So, Margie, I want to start off by asking you the simple question of what makes you in particular a courageous person? And then why has this become your topic of choice?
You know, it's a great question. And I guess it probably stems back to just my upbringing. For so many people, our passion in life, you know, has something to do with our childhood roots. I grew up on a dairy farm in rural Australia, the big sister of seven. And I guess I had an upbringing that was, frankly, it was probably fairly easy in many ways. I never moved off my parents' farm. I had loving parents, but I certainly didn't know much about the world beyond and didn't get a lot of encouragement when it came to thinking big and taking on big, lofty goals. And so I remember when I was about 13, actually, my father said, Margaret Mary, I see great things for you. I see you being Sister Margaret Mary in charge of a convent. Well, let's just say, Darren, that wasn't a vision that particularly inspired me. And when I was 18, I left home and moved to the city 4 hours away, which seemed at the time like a very big adventurous move. And I guess it was my first big step outside my comfort zone. And in a sense, it was my first really courageous act because I didn't have a lot of resources. I had to work my way through college. But back then and so many times since, I've realized that the more we step outside our comfort zone, the more courageous we become. And I also had experiences. I battled with bulimia for over 10 years. I ended up in a pretty violent armed robbery in my 20s. Had a series of miscarriages on the way to having 4 children. And through all of those experiences, whether I was forced outside my comfort zone and facing an adversity, or I chose to step outside it, I really discovered that life is as big and rewarding as we choose to make it. And too often we let our fear and our self-doubt hold us back. And I've had plenty of fear and plenty of self-doubt. And so over the years in dealing with my own challenges and working through my own hang-ups, and we've all got our own hang-ups in different shapes and forms, that really when we're willing to really face our fears and to step through them, that life opens up whole new horizons of possibility.
So you just talked about choosing to be courageous, and I know that you believe that true courage starts with something as simple as knowing your why is something we talk a lot about here at Success. So explain why this is the starting point for living a courageous life and then the best way for us to go about establishing our why.
To me, knowing your why is crucial to being courageous. And I the first chapter of my most recent book, Stop Playing Safe, is Know Your Why. And I help people find their why. And it's really what is it that gives us a sense of purpose and meaning in our lives. And it's that intersection between what we're passionate about and what we're naturally good at, where we add value, what we have talents at, what we have skills and expertise in. And knowing our why is what is it that you want your life to stand for? And when you look back 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, how do you want to measure your life? And when we know our why, it allows us to measure it in a way that we'll ultimately get a great sense of satisfaction from, whether or not everything went our way. And so when I talk about being courageous, I talk about taking risks. I talk about putting our vulnerability on the line. And unless we have a clear reason for doing so, we won't. We'll stay in the confines of our comfort zone and we'll choose the path where we're guaranteed not to put ourselves at risk of failing or looking foolish. And so knowing your why compels you to step outside your comfort zone. It compels you to take those risks, whether it's to speak up, to make a change, to take a chance.
So let's talk, Margie, about why we need courage. And that is really, for the most part, to overcome our fear. You know, fear is something that we're bombarded with every single day. But I think most of the time we're unaware of just how much of it we're dealing with in our lives and how much it's truly limiting us. So tell us how to identify where and how we are being limited by fear.
Absolutely. And let me just say on that, we do live in a culture of fear, Darren. I mean, obviously, in the age that we're in now, we have so many more means of being exposed to the fears that are around us through the media, through social media. So we live in this culture where we're constantly being bombarded with reasons why we should feel afraid, hunker down, play safe, lock the doors. So it's really important to realize that we're all in this environment and we are creatures of our environment. And so given the culture of fear we live in, we have to be so much more vigilant about the fears that we're buying into and those of the people around us so that we don't let them, their fears become our own. And when it comes to identifying where and how we're being limited by fear, I think a key question that I love to ask people is, you know, what is it that you would do if you weren't afraid of failing, if you weren't afraid of looking foolish? What would you do if you didn't have fear? Now, of course, fear isn't a bad emotion. Fear seeks to serve us and keep us safe and protect us from harm. But too often our fears keep us from taking the actions that we need to take in our lives to create the changes we want, to achieve what we're capable of achieving. But when we start with that question, what would you do if you weren't afraid? What would you do if you were being truly courageous? That can sometimes really trigger in people like, oh, you know, I would have this difficult conversation with someone. You know, I would change what I'm doing here. I would decide I'd say no to this commitment, or I'd put my hand up and I'd say, hey, you know, this is what I really want to do. So I think just starting with that question, what would you do if you weren't afraid, is a really powerful place to start. And how are we being limited by our fears? I mean, we're limited by our fears every single day in such a myriad of ways that it's too numerous to mention. But in our relationships, you know, how we communicate and interact with people, just in the way we show up and how we engage in our work environment and in our lives. So much of that comes down to our fears, you know, at deep levels of not being lovable enough, not being worthy enough, not being good enough, not having what it takes, fear of being exposed, fear of failing, fear of not feeling like we matter. And so that can impact how we show up and how we interact and what we do, our actions, and obviously the results we produce in so many different ways.
So Margie, I'm curious, what is it that's going on inside our minds when this fear comes up?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Darren. We're wired neurologically to be risk averse. In fact, scientists have found there's four different factors at play that drive us to avoid risks rather than to take them. The first is that when we're looking at making a change, taking a chance, putting ourselves at risk in some way, we tend to overestimate the probability that things will go wrong. So losses loom larger than gains. So we tend to, instead of it being like just a slim chance that things won't work out, we've got it at like, oh, at least 50% chance. So that's one thing. We overestimate the likelihood of things not going well. Two, we exaggerate the consequences of risk. So we tend to catastrophize and come up with these worst case scenarios. And those visions can really terrify and paralyze us into inaction. Thirdly, we underestimate our ability to handle the consequences of risk. So we often don't really trust ourselves and our abilities to handle things. If things don't go well or if they start going off the rails, you know, we tend to figure it out. We come up with a plan, we figure out contingencies and we deal with it. But most of the time, we underestimate our ability to handle those consequences. And the fourth thing is that we deny or discount the cost of inaction. And we treat the future as though the present will continue as it is now. But the fact is, if things aren't going well now, they tend to only get worse over time. They don't just get better. And so too often we go, oh, well, I'll just stick with the status quo. It's not so bad. But the fact is, when we don't take action, whether it's in our businesses can end up being left behind as the competitive landscape marches steadily forward. And in our personal lives and relationships, things tend to get worse over time, not better. So those four factors overestimating the likelihood things will go wrong, 2, exaggerating the consequences, 3, underestimating our abilities, and 4, downplaying the cost of inaction. They all work together in concert to make us be less likely to take risks and step outside our comfort zone. So when you're looking at making a change, taking on a challenge, know that you've already got that tendency at play.
So I love this quote that I read of yours, Margie. Courage is a muscle. Use it or lose it. So talk about this for a moment. How is courage like a muscle?
Courage is actually a skill. Too often we think of courage as an attribute we're born with or not. So too often we look around at other people and we think, oh, they're so courageous. I don't have the courage that they do. And I think of the lion in The Wizard of Oz who, you know, felt like he was just this wimpy lion. He didn't have what it takes. He wasn't a real lion. And yet in the end, we really saw that actually this lion was courageous. He just wasn't the same as other lions. He had his own brand of courage. And so knowing that we all have our own brand of courage and we shouldn't be looking around and comparing ourselves with others, because every one of us has the courage within us, often untapped, to do the things that we aspire to do. And so courage is a muscle. The more often that we use it, the more often that we put ourselves at risk, that we put our vulnerability on the line, as I mentioned, as we step outside our comfort zone, the more we build that muscle, courage begets courage. And so likewise, when we don't take on new challenges, when we don't step outside our comfort zone, when we constantly play safe, we can be like, we can kind of wither on the vine. It's like muscles, you know, they atrophy if we're not using them. If you've ever had a broken arm or leg, you know, you're much weaker because you haven't used it. So it's a bit like also going after the gym. You know, you don't start out trying to lift 150 pounds. You start out with something that's very manageable and then you slowly build it up and build it up and build it up and build it up. And so we expand the barriers of what I call our courage zone. You know, things that were once scary for us become easier. And then we take on bigger challenges and bigger challenges. And so we end up doing things that we might have looked back on 10 years ago and said, oh, I could never do that. But it's no longer frightening for us. Every one of us can become more courageous throughout the course of our lives. And so my challenge for people who aren't forced outside their comfort zone is, where do you have untapped courage that you aren't accessing and using to live a bigger and more meaningful life?
All right. So as you talk about it being a muscle, give us a courage workout or a training regimen, an exercise program to work out these muscles. So a few simple things that we can do to cultivate our courage mindset and strengthen our own courage muscles so that they're ready for us when we need them. What would you suggest?
Well, I'd break it down into 3 core categories of things where you can be more courageous. Firstly, in the aspirations that you have, what is it that you're currently working toward? And do you have 100% guarantee of success at it? Because if you know 100% you'll achieve it, that there's absolutely no risk of failing whatsoever, then you're probably not thinking big enough. You need to think bigger. And so throughout our lives, we constantly need to be reassessing, what are the goals I'm working towards? What's the vision that I have? Is it big enough? Is it big enough? Is it really worthy of me? And so creating and then sharing your goals and aspirations with people around you, that's an important way to be building up courage, because when you take on bigger goals, it calls you out of your comfort zone to be more courageous. So that's one thing. And sharing those aspirations with people around you, because that absolutely builds in accountability and helps create an environment that makes you much less likely to throw in the towel and much more likely to continue to be courageous. The second is in the conversations that you're having. What conversations do you need to be having that you're not? Where are you playing safe in the conversations you're having? Because you're afraid of an awkward conversation. You're afraid of rejection. You're afraid of being criticized. You're afraid of not getting what you want or someone not liking what you have to say. And finally, in the day-by-day actions that you're taking. So I think every day we need to make sure that we are stepping outside our comfort zone. And I often say 5 times a day, are you doing 5 things over the course of a day that were uncomfortable for you, they doesn't mean that they were terrifying, but that they made you feel some level of vulnerability. And that's when you know that you're constantly going to be building those courage muscles. But we build them just one small action at a time. And sometimes they're really big actions, but constantly doing things, whether it's in our conversations, whether it's in our aspirations, whether it's in the actions that we're taking. But we need to be constantly just challenging ourselves and seeing where we may be sort of sitting on our laurels and not really stretching ourselves, not allowing ourselves to be vulnerable to those things that we fear.
So let's see if we can make this more tangible by having you give us a few examples of some of these courage cultivating steps in action. How did somebody that you work with, what was their previous disposition or challenges, and what did you instruct for them to do, and what were their outcomes? Give us the framework for how this has worked out in real life.
I'll give you a couple of examples, actually, of some different clients of mine, for instance. So, you know, I had one client, she was working in a big corporation making lots of money in sales, and she felt stuck because she was making lots of money and it was really hard to sort of give up the big dollars. But in her heart of hearts, she really wanted to have her own business and wanted the freedom and flexibility of her own business, but one that was really much more aligned with what she was passionate around, which was around nutrition and health and fitness, but particularly focused on nutrition. And so for her, it was saying, you know what, I really want to have my own business and I want to have something that I create, that I have control over, and that's aligned with what matters most to me. And so for her, it was then making a plan. It was one, going and doing the research and things that took to start her own business, and two, changing the budget so that she could figure out how to make that work, sitting down with her partner, looking at what changes they would have to make so that they could accommodate, you know, the transition while she was able to then start really getting an income up and in her new business. And ultimately then resigning from her job and starting a new business. For someone else that I was working with, that for them, it was actually going and talking to their boss and saying, hey, I'm not that happy with what I'm doing. What I'd really like to do is a different role. And for her, it was getting really clear about what her value was and then having that difficult conversation with someone so that she could open up the possibility of doing a more rewarding role in the organization that she was part of. For some people, it's been in their small businesses where I had a client a few years back. He had a small business. He did training for people. And for him, it was about taking his business to the next level and engaging people, getting in other people to work for him, but just creating that plan. There was some risk involved. As you know, whenever you're having people work for you and you're trying to grow a business, there's always going to be some level of risk that you've got to take on, you've got to embrace as necessary to building a business. So coming up with the structures, coming up with the strategies so that he could build his business, and then managing all of the challenges around that when it came to, you know, getting extra people on board, getting extra resources on, changing, you know, where he was actually based.
So let's see if we can activate this for people. Okay, so let's say they identify something they want and then they start to feel fear. What do they do? What's the action? So if we go from want to fear, action. What's the action you suggest they take to step through the fear and do the thing that they want, even in the face of fear?
I've really broken it down, Darren, into four core steps. When we know what we want to do, it might be a goal we want to achieve, or it might be a big change that we want to make. And I think there's four key things that we can do to help really overcome the fear. The first one is to just acknowledge the fear. Sometimes people aren't really present to their fears. Some people don't like to think that they even feel afraid. They might have an image in the world and of themselves. They want to think that, oh, no, I'm not afraid of anything. So one is to really acknowledge, you know, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid this won't work out. I'm afraid that people might think less of me if it doesn't. I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. I'm afraid I don't have what it takes. Fear that we don't own owns us. The second is to tame fear. You know, I often think of this, liken this to the lion tamer at the circus, and there's the lions. And the lions are always going to be physically more powerful than the man that's working with them. But he has learnt how to manage those lions and to get them to do what he wants them to do. They don't run the show. He runs the show. And that's what taming it is really about. It's not that our fears always just dissolve and go away and we feel fearless, but that we're the ones that are holding the cards. We have the power, not our fears. The third is to harness fear. You know, fear has a lot of energy. It really holds enormous energy. If you think about the times you've felt afraid, it can take up enormous amounts of energy. And so how can we harness that energy in a positive way? And we can do that by looking at it through the other lens of how will I feel about myself 6 months from now, 12 months from now, if I don't do this? What's the cost to me of inaction? And in that way, we harness the power of fear in our favor. And we think we're really using that energy in a way that helps compel us to then take those actions. If you don't do this action with your business, if you don't go out there and take on this new challenge or go after this client or try and get your business up to this new level that you really wanted at, how will you feel about yourself 6, 12 months from now, 3 years from now? Really getting present to the cost of inaction can be an incredible motivator. And finally, is the fourth step is just choosing to step through it. It's feeling that fear and taking action anyway. And I obviously the Nike slogan, just do it, is a popular one, but it really is taking that very big deep breath, getting that oxygen moving through our bodies and saying, that's it, I'm just going to take the plunge. And I'm sure for you, Darren, I know I've had this myself many times, particularly when I've got up to on stage to speak and I've, you know, stepping out to speak in front of hundreds, sometimes thousands of people. And I have, you know, I'm feeling a bit tight. I'm like, and I've got all the little voices of self-doubt going through my head because I'm a human being and I have those doubts as we all do. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to take a big deep breath and I'm going to step out through this and do what it is I know I need to do and focus in on why am I here in the first place? And that's where we come back to that why that we spoke about earlier.
So it sounds like, if I can summarize it, acknowledge that the fear is there. Great. Two, take back your power, claim your power back. And then three is kind of an Aikido strategy. Use fear as the force against the fear itself. If I don't do this, then what will happen? And then lastly, just step forward, just step through the fear and do it anyway. Okay, great. So we got a good framework there. So I just have one final question for you today, Margie, and that is if you could tell someone one thing, you're sitting knee to knee with somebody right now who right now is feeling that fear and you could help bolster their courage a little bit, what would that one thought be so that people stop playing it safe and live up to the courage that we know that they have within them?
As human beings, we have a tendency to underestimate what we're capable of. And when we're looking at making a change or taking a chance, that tendency is amplified. So I would say, trust yourself. You are capable of far, far more than you think. And that includes any actions that will take you toward the aspirations that really inspire you.
Fantastic. Well, Margie Worrell, I appreciate you being with us here today. Hopefully those that are listening will find their greater courage and stop playing it safe and as a result of our conversation today. So thank you so much for talking with us here at Success.
It's been my pleasure, Darren. Thanks for having me.
Success Audio Series. Copyright Success Media. All rights reserved.